So we now have a brief look at the third so-called letter of John. Like the author of 2 John, the author of this letter introduces himself simply as the elder, the presbyter. There's no reason to doubt the tradition that we're dealing with the same person. The letters are very brief, so it's hard to get internal proof, but all the evidence that is there, there's no indication that we're dealing with a different author. We refer the reader to the introduction we just did on 2 John, to the same kind of argument about the relationship between the letters and the gospel. This is a very different kind of letter from the one we've just done. It's a personal letter to a man called Gaius, recommending a missionary named Demetrius, and complaining about a certain Diotrephes, a leader of a church in Gaius's area. In spite of the fact that the elder, the author of our letter, has personally recommended certain missionaries, Diotrephes is refusing to offer them hospitality. We're not told why Diotrephes has acted in this way. Perhaps because it's too brief a letter, we don't see the other side of the story. Perhaps the elder himself doesn't know. Though the matter of breakaway teachers is not raised, it may have, almost no doubt has, bearing on the situation. The breakdown of the communion of Christians in the area may have caused Diotrephes to suspect all itinerant preachers. Keep them all out. Whatever the reasons, the elder is concerned that the refusal of hospitality is another cause of the breakdown of love in the community. It also leaves the church in which Diotrephes and Gaius have a leadership role vulnerable to schism. They're not allowing, or Diotrephes isn't allowing input from the other communities. So any church, and we see that today, any church that becomes totally autonomous, self-governing, is a victim to the leadership that it's got. We in our church have a much more complex system, and it's not always weighted appropriately, but there's something wonderful about belonging to a parish here, for example, where the bishop has an overseer's position, so that if I, for example, were, and I could, not through willingness but unwittingly, preach something quite heretical, then if the community complained to the bishop, he would have the right and the responsibility to investigate it. He might see that he's dealing with a parishioner who's terribly narrow-minded and unaware, or he might see that he's dealing with a priest who's quite off, got his own agenda, and he's pushing in a local parish. Then he'll have to make a decision accordingly. He would come and see me, presumably, I'm sure he would, and if I discussed it with him, and I might even say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise, you know, that was wrong what I said, I'll apologise, you know, then the system, that's okay, that's fine. But if I stuck with my position, was determined to keep preaching something that is actually not Catholic teaching, well, he'd have to sack me from the job, wouldn't he? And of course he would, and I would want him to, by the way, because you don't want a system whereby, so you'd want to be either change, or, so that's our system, and similarly with the bishop. So we've got a whole church which is accountable in a many, many ways. I'm talking off the cuff a little bit. At the moment, I would think, many of us think, who cares what I think, but I do, that it's far too centralised, far too centralised. But I'm still glad there's this tension between the local and the centre, the Vatican and the local church. It's a good tension to have. I just wish there was far less control from the centre, which is, by the way, an awfully modern phenomenon. You couldn't have centralisation until you had telephones and you send news out to Batavia, as Jakarta was once called, in a couple of 150 years ago. Well, by the letter got there 6 months, took 6 months to get back. In the meantime, the person who sent it has died, and I mean, it's pretty hard to have. But now you've got email, you've got instant action. We've got centralisation, which is poor, I think, but it's good to have it. So all we're saying here is This is one of the problems of this diatribe. He's keeping everybody out except himself, by the sound of it. So it leaves the church in which Diotrephes and Gaius have a leadership role vulnerable to schism without close contact with the mother church. The elder is pleased that Gaius, that's the one he's writing to, is not following the example of Diotrephes, and that missionaries in good standing and recommended by the elder are being offered hospitality in the home and so in the church which meets there. Keep in mind, he's not writing to Diotrephes this letter. He may have also written to him. We're reading the letter he's written to Gaius, who's actually a sensible, good leader. And this text, likewise, for your interest, is preserved in its entirety in the 4th century parchment codexes Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, and in the 5th century parchment codex Alexandrinus. 3 John, that's this letter, appears only once in the official church lectionary. Verses 5 to 8 only are read on Saturday of the week 32 of the ordinary time, year 2, so the day after John 2. So if you happen to go that week to church on the weekdays, you'd get it, but otherwise you wouldn't. So it's obviously not considered a central document of the New Testament, and there's a lesson in that too. The Bible isn't flat. It's not all equally significant. We've got to learn that, to keep a perspective on everything. And that goes particularly for the Old Testament. The best advice I could give anyone is to only read the Old Testament through the eyes of Jesus. Because Jesus himself says in the records, it was said to you of old, but I say to you. Well, you've got to make that movement for every single text in the Old Testament. It's inspired, but you've got to get firstly to the truth that the author had in mind for our salvation. That's all you've got. That's the truth. The way it's expressed, the art forms, all of that has to be discovered. But also there are levels of expectation. They thought the sun ran around the earth. They were wrong. So when they say it's right, you don't have to defend it. You know, they're talking with, that's not the truth they're saying. With all these assumptions that they had, even assumptions about God, which are no longer seen to be true because we've seen Jesus. So they're full of assumptions to look for, and in there we'll find an insight, a partial insight, an imperfect insight, because it hasn't yet come to Jesus, but beautiful, and we can find the thread or the seam in the rocks. You can find the gold, and you can find the gold or the coal or whatever it is, the seam coming through. And so in the light of Jesus, we can look back and see all this wonderful growing insight. We can also see, of old it was said, but I say to you, you know, because it's very imperfect, necessarily. So let's have a look now at our text. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Okay, we've done those terms. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health, just as it is well for your soul, your psuche, your psyche, your inner being. I was overjoyed when some of the friends arrived to test and testify to your faithfulness to the truth. Namely, how you walk in the truth. Once again, truth, truth, truth. Walk in the truth. I'll take that as read, can I? From that. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That my children. So we seem to be dealing with maybe a mother church and with daughter churches, let's call them, that have spun off, grown from this house. And they've gone out there, other places, and grown, and then they've sent missionaries out and started another community. This seems obviously, so he can talk of them as his children. Beloved, and he's an old man, and so you're allowed to, when you're an old man, to say things that a younger man would have hired to say. We forgive the ancient. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the friends, even though they are strangers to you. They're They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on in a manner worthy of God. So rumor has it, that Gaius has been very welcoming of these preachers that the elder has sent out, or the community they've sent out, to help correct some of these faults and, you know, check on things. And Gaius has said, yeah, come in, that's lovely. And he's saying, thanks for your welcoming of them, and please send them on, you know, to the other communities, because they need this too, with your blessing. For they began their journey for the sake... Now, the New Revised Standard Version, perhaps sensibly, says for the sake of Christ. But I think we've got to be careful about translations. It's making some sense. But the actual text is for the sake of the name. The name. So, Christ, yes. Lord, Jesus. We know who it means, like in the name of the Father. So, but it actually says in the name. And they've given some meaning to it. Or clarification for an English reader. Accepting no support from non-believers. They're not doing it for money. They're not charlatans. They're going just living off what as the gospel says, the preacher is worthy of his keep. Therefore, we ought to support such people so that we may become co-workers with the truth. Now, he goes on. Verse 9, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, doesn't acknowledge our authority. If I come, now what has he written to the church? Is it 1 John? Highly likely. That's what he's talking about, maybe. I mean, it's highly likely, is the best I can put that whole document about him. Importance of Jesus in the flesh and blood and so on. But we can't absolutely tell from this letter. If I come, I will call attention to what he's doing in spreading false charges against us. And not content with those charges, he refuses to welcome the friends and even prevents those who want to do so and expels them from the church. So you've got a local parish priest who's really resistant to any ideas except his own. What's new? I mean, that can happen any time. I hope it's not happening here, but it could be. So it's a personal problem here. Beloved, he says to Gaius, don't imitate what is evil. Imitate what is good. Whatever does good is from God. Whatever does evil has not seen God. So he's encouraging Gaius to stay on side and to do what he's doing. Everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, for he's one of the particular teachers that has been going. And he said, look, this is like a letter of recommendation to a Demetrius might be taking this in his pocket to him. And he says, who are you? I'm Demetrius. Good, but who's Demetrius? And he says, oh, I've got this letter from John the Elder, and he's reading it. Oh, okay, come in. You know, we'd love to hear from you, and would you mind preaching the homily at the Eucharist? And I'd love to. Yeah, all that's happening. So everyone has testified favorably about Demetrius, and so has the truth itself. So there's a discernment in the community, and the community have come to see, you know, we've got this problem, and they said, well, look, why don't somebody gets up, one of the members of the community, says, I think we should send Demetrius because he's got a lovely manner and, you know, he's really, and he knows the people and he's got a sister who's in the convent or getting over, but whatever. So the community say, yeah, that'd be terrific. So, you know, the truth, there's been a discernment of the Spirit in the community. So they say, yeah, okay, Demetrius, they give him a missionary cross and bless him and all that, whatever. We also testify for him. And you know that our testimony is true. You can trust us. I've much to write to you, but I'd rather not write with pen and ink. He doesn't like long letters, this bloke. Instead, I hope to see you soon and we'll talk together face to face. Peace to you. The friends send you their greeting. Greet the friends there, each by name. Friends is philos, you know, loved ones. Philia is love, friendship. So he's calling them people who are in love, people who love.
Friends.